It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sometimes the ball finds you, sometimes it doesn't. Game plan to game plan. I know you guys love to talk about, look at the stat sheet and says who hasn't gotten the ball and who has. And then, you know, we get so enamored with that. It's the ball finds the guy that it's supposed to find. You know, the game plan has to help with that. But there's also a defense out there that sometimes determines where the ball is going to fall, right? Play in and play out, or in this case, pass to pass.
Jeremy and Joe, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The ball finds who the ball's supposed to find. I'm sorry, I thought when you threw it to a guy a lot, that was forcing him the ball. Sorry, I can't stop. I can't, Joe. I can't do it. I can't stop. Hey, Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, going to join us on the Wester Hotline.
Look out for that snark cannon.
I was going to say, Scott, yeah. This may come as a great surprise. We've had you on Thursdays for, I don't know, like 8 years now. And for most of the last five, we've talked about wide receivers. That's pretty much what we do around here. And now Devontae Adams, I don't know if it's a Devontae Adams watch. I think we've decided it's a Devontae Adams
watch.
We've got reporting the Bills have inquired. We've got reporting they're monitoring the situation. We've had people crunch the numbers on how it could happen. And we've got a team that, I would say this, Scott, and you could speak to this. Outsiders look at the Bills and think, yeah, that team could probably use another receiver on the outside.
For sure. Yeah, I like everybody in the room, but is there a lead singer there? I'm not sure.
Well, what do you make of Adams and that offense? You know, we talk fantasy a lot, and the Raiders, they've got what going on? I mean, they've been a disappointment all over the place, whether it's Adams or is it Zamir White that's not really done that much. Brock Bowers has taken over as the alpha of that offense.
Little sleeper play on Trey Tucker.
Trey Tucker
hasn't been terrible, though.
He's had some success. Yeah. What do you make of what's happened in Vegas?
Yeah, I do like Trey Tucker in deep leagues, but it's not the team I thought it would be. I thought they'd be pretty good defensively. They have not been. Having Max Crosby hurt doesn't help. I thought maybe they would have an okay running game. Zamir White has not been good. Madison actually has been the better back. And Antonio Pierce, one of the more honest and blunt coaches in the league, has said that Madison needs to play more. Pierce also noted White lost a fumble last week. We know everybody hates fumbles, but some teams respond to them, some teams don't. I guess Ramondre Stevenson can fumble every game this year for New England. They're never going to bench him. But maybe the Raiders are going to do something different. But the funny thing about trades in the NFL during the season, because we obviously see a bunch of them in the pocket that they happen, you know, before the draft, free agency, all that period, players get moved all the time. But the NFL used to be a league where there were never trades in season. The teams were worried about, you know, it's going to be too hard to adjust and the player won't be useful for you and we don't want to take a chance and all that. And in recent years, that's changed a little bit. It's helped that they moved the deadline back. So there's a bigger window to find out who are you. You know, let's actually fall out of playoff contention before we start dismantling our team or trading big pieces and all that. But, you know, 5 years ago, this would just be a fool's errand. We talk about it and nothing would happen. But now that Adams is unhappy, Team isn't going anywhere. You know, I mean, Adams wanted the big contract. He wanted out of Green Bay at a time when he had it pretty good with Rodgers. I would say it's probably, I don't know, 80% he's traded. And I never would say that generally of an NFL, trade demand in season. Usually it's like, that's nice, it's not going to happen. This is a situation where there's smoke and I think there is fire.
What would you make of his fantasy prospects and value like right now? Thinking he's probably getting traded, and you would think to a better situation, at least a better quarterback. But sometimes it's weird, Scott, right, with fantasy, like when a guy gets dealt middle of the season. So how hopeful would you be if you are an Adams owner right now that this is going to get, like, drastically better?
I mean, if we're redrafting, I probably wouldn't consider him in the first three rounds. He's hurt right now. They've already pretty much said he's not going to play in week five. Now, part of that may be the idea that when you have an asset you're trying to trade, you don't want him to get hurt or further hurt, so you protect that asset. That's common in every sport. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we used to actually be petrified when receivers changed teams in the offseason. And that got broken. Now, part of that, people will say, well, yeah, because they get traded and they, you know, it's a number two being asked to be a number one. It's a number three being asked to be a number two. They're being promoted in role. And then we saw a couple of years ago what A.J. Brown was traded to the Eagles. He was better. Tyreek Hill went to Miami. He was great. You know, Diggs went to Buffalo. You know, he obviously, you know, the honeymoon period for that was very good. So we don't really fear that anymore. But I worry about what team would he go to? What's the terminology? You might say, well, what if he goes to the Jets? He knows Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. But, I mean, the Jets offense doesn't look very fun right now. I mean, they haven't gotten Garrett Wilson unlocked. Can't really seem to get Breece Hall going either, which is an interesting story. The top three running backs in fantasy this year have all been disappointing for different reasons. But I would rather not have Devontae Adams be my problem. You know, if you could trade him in a fantasy league and get top three, top four round value and lock in a profit and not have to play, is he happy? Is he healthy? Did he go to a team that's going to prioritize him? I think I'd rather have him. You don't give him away. I'm not certainly not saying cut him or trade him for, you know, trade him for something willy-nilly, but I'd rather not be in the Devontae Adams business, age 32 season as well.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Some fantasy chatter for you as we prep. Bills, Texans, a big one for, we've noted the irony of all the Adams stuff coming out for Diggs week for us. I mean, mm-hmm. Yep. In Houston, that's an offense. It's also been meh so far. And Nico Collins has been eating. Diggs has been getting his production. They finally get Tank Dell back. I don't know how many snaps they've played with all three guys, but the full boat of receiving weapons for the Texans. What do you think that looks like for them ultimately in the hierarchy? Because so far Diggs has been wide receiver too, while Dell has been banged up.
Yeah, if we redrafted, Collins would go in the first round. Diggs has returned his value. Dell was kind of running unlucky. He had a couple of near misses on longer passes. He hadn't scored a touchdown, I don't believe, but his usage and route participation and all that, his metrics, his peripherals, as you would say, were actually fine. I think Dell, if healthy, is a guy I would want to trade for right now. Dalton Schultz is just kind of a lesser light in this offense. And maybe Joe Mixon, you know, he has that huge first week. Since then, he's been hurt. I don't know that Mixon is necessarily – he's a support player in this offense. I don't think he's going to drive this offense. I think the week one just fell right for him. I don't want to come down too hard on Houston's offense because it's like, how many offenses do you feel that great about right now?
Yeah.
Some offenses are just dead zones. And then some teams is like, well, we're going to give them a little bit of time. And then there's like teams like the Saints, when we think they're good, then they fall off and there's variance. You know, the Eagles are getting a bye at the right time. You know, there's only so many, like, you know, the Lions right now, it's like everybody seems to be producing. And even then, like, people who have Laporta or St. Brown might be a little bit disappointed because the running backs are gobbling up all the touchdowns. But I feel like there's only maybe like four or five offenses right now. They're just, wow, this, the Washington of all people, who saw that happening? They've been a right answer. But Houston's closer to being a right answer than not. And I think they're going to, when they have the three receivers healthy, that may be this week. I still feel really good about Stroud. They kept the coordinator in Slowick, who I feel good about. I would think they would be a bankable 24, 27 points a game, and I think it's going to be a fun fantasy game. You have to just throw out the Buffalo-Baltimore result. You know, the previous week, obviously, the Bills did anything they wanted against Jacksonville. And I know they don't have, you know, Shakir and Keon Coleman and Samuel and Kincaid. They're all good players. Maybe there isn't, you know, that generational talent there, but, I mean, Josh Allen, I believe in him. I believe in Brady. You know, Cook was playing well before last week. Every NFL team, it's a four-month season. There's going to be a couple of results that just don't make sense, or it's like, wow, they really hit the low end of their range that week. With a good offense like Buffalo, I think you just have to throw it out.
You mentioned Washington. I want to ask you, how real is Jaden Daniels' early output? I mean, it's historic. It's not just the rushing. I saw Nate Tice refer to him as fast Teddy Bridgewater, being complimentary. Like, Bridgewater was a good player, and here's Daniels with, he's got efficiency, he's got big plays, he's got the mobility. From a fantasy standpoint, I'll just flat out say it. I benched Josh Allen for Jaden Daniels last week, Scott, and that was the right call. And there are not many players you would play ahead of Josh Allen from a fantasy standpoint. How close to QB1 is Daniels, and how reliable is it?
Yeah, he's probably, I would think, top three quarterback going forward. And it has, I may have said this on the show before, it has all the RG3 feel. 2012 Washington team, it's down. It needs some reason to be hopeful. They hit on the right quarterback, a Heisman Trophy winner, a dual run pass threat. The thing that was important is that Daniels was an accomplished passer in college, that he obviously could run, but it wasn't that running was the only thing he could do. And I realized, you know, he was at LSU, where your neighbors was an overlord. Brian Thomas would get all the separation, and both those guys have played really well. It's a really fun receiver class this year, of course. But he's, you know, I mean, he goes to Washington, but the only receiver we really jump up and down about there is Terry McLaurin. McLaurin's on pace to have his best season, and Cliff Kingsbury was a coordinator we really didn't trust in Arizona. It seems like he's hitting the right notes here. Now, we're going to find out what Daniels is much more in October, because the schedule gets a lot more difficult. He had a very favorable schedule in September, just teams that there wasn't an A-plus defense in the group, and now he's going to get some of those teams in October, where it's a much more difficult slate. But the game is in fast form. They have a lot of plays where he gets rid of the ball right away. He's not taking hits. The one thing you worry about with his frame, he still hasn't really kind of figured out when to give up on a run, how to slide, get out of bounds, and stuff like that. You don't want him getting hit constantly. That's been a problem with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. He keeps getting hurt, and it keeps happening on running plays because he's not really sure what he's doing out there. But, and it's funny, Al Richardson was the one who was drafted all expectantly in fantasy this year. I saw some people thinking he could be the quarterback one, and here's Jaden Daniels having the year that a lot of people thought for Richardson. But I believe in it. If I were redrafting, I would have no problem making him one of those, you know, going where, I hate to say this, going where maybe Patrick Mahomes went in the preseason. Yeah, I believe in Jaden Daniels, and this is a fun, and I talked about, it's a lot of offenses right now we can't trust. Washington, when I go to rewatch the games, I don't rewatch every game. I just don't have time to, but Washington's one of the first tapes I replay every week. It's like a treat, you know? It's like giving myself a dessert before I eat my dinner.
How about Nick Chubb right now? Practice window open. I mean, obviously you can't play him, but if you've held on to him, I know in our conversations in past, you're not one to bet on injuries and guys returning from injury, so who knows? But he's one of the best ever, you know? And I wonder what kind of ability he has. Some of these guys, when they come back from an injury, like Adrian Peterson was this, right? Mm-hmm. He was supposed to not be good anymore, and then he was good. And I wonder if you would hold out hope for Nick Chubb.
Yeah, Peterson won an MVP. Maybe had his best season after the ACL. Had just crazy. But modern medicine and the will of Peterson. I love Chubb. He's one of my favorite players. And, you know, probably a borderline Hall of Famer right now, just needs maybe a couple more seasons of what he's done during his career to get in. But what is he stepping into? An offensive line that's beat up, a quarterback who's playing very poorly. I don't know what it would take to get Deshaun Watson benched, but man, at some point I'd want to see DTR player, Jameis Winston, anybody else. I'm also wondering how many more losses do they need before Amari Cooper's on the trade block. When he looked good, Kansas City could desperately use a receiver. They're not going to probably get Adams, but I think Amari Cooper to Kansas City would make a lot of sense. I want it to happen for Chubb, and I think it will next year. This year, my expectations are going to be very modest.
One must play. You might be about to bring this up, Joe.
Wandale Robinson.
Yes, Wandale Robinson, with Malik Nabers potentially not going against Seattle. I guess you could ask, if he's not going to get the gravity he would normally get over there, is Robinson a must start? But he gets open and he gets targets.
Yeah, in a horizontal passing game, right? Daniel Jones has just looked totally lost whenever they try to go downfield, but so many of those plays are snap the ball, you know, take a one-step drop and get rid of it, usually to Nabers, often to Robinson. Robinson, I believe, only has the one touchdown, but he's getting buried with targets. He's getting a bunch of catches, and what you're probably going to get is something like a 10-catch, 71-yard game, maybe not a touchdown, but as long as there's a PPR component in your league, that's fine. And you may think, well, if Nabers isn't playing, aren't the Seahawks going to conspire to make sure that, you know, Wandale Robinson doesn't beat them? Well, with the routes he's running, those are going to be there, right? I mean, you can't really stop a guy from catching a two-yard pass or a smoke route or something like that. It's not like he's running intermediate routes and stuff that you could prioritize. They'll probably be fine to give him. We see how everybody plays defense now. They give you short passes. They give you small gains, and they dare you to go down the field with 15 of those plays. So, yeah, Wan'Dale Robinson has graduated from, you know, is he even draftable? Is he even playable? To like, yeah, he's like a top 15, top 20 receiver this week.
We've talked tight end weekly with you, Scott, just because it is a wasteland right now, and I think everybody is listening, maybe desperately, like, give me somebody that is even a little bit hopeful. So for that, like, if you had whoever at the top that is disappointing you, like, is there somebody you're looking at right now that is on the uptick, or you think could be someone that is maybe close to breaking out or even just a good weekly play?
I am hoping. I realize by now he's probably rostered in any competitive league, but I'm hoping what Tucker Kraft did last week is signal and not noise. He's 9 targets, 6 catches, catches a touchdown, and he catches a 2-point conversion. And I always care about those 2-point conversions because, you know, they're plays from the 2-yard line. I think they reflect future goal line equity. Jordan Love comes back. Christian Watson is hurt now. So a crowded set of pass catchers is now a little bit more tidied up. I'm at a point now where I would bench or cut Kyle Pitts or Mark Andrews for Tucker Kraft immediately and not look back.
Cut them even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Andrews. Pitts I would prefer not to cut. I would try really hard not to cut Pitts. And I would ask around if somebody wanted Pitts. I'm afraid it's over for Andrews. He's 29. Had a controversial surgery, was in a car accident. He's been a high attrition player his whole career anyway. Maybe likely is better. That team doesn't want to throw the ball. They will throw it if they have to, but they prefer not to. A lot of things. I mean, with Pitts, at least it's, you know, he's still their number one tight end. Maybe Cousins will start to play better. I can tell myself a more plausible story of Pitts coming back into relevance. So Mark Andrews come back into relevance. It's like, you know, how do I get to the ballpark? Okay, you take a left, you take a right, then there's a church, and then you take a U-turn. There's too many turns. You know, I don't operate that way. At least Kyle Pitts, who I'm still not hopeful about, at least his onboarding would be, it's a story I can tell because it doesn't have 17 parts to it. I this is like some French movie that I don't understand. I don't know how Mark Andrews comes into our lives again.
I have him in a dynasty league where like I'm just crossing my fingers. Like maybe he's just still banged up from the car accident and the surgery, and he'll get healthier. But there's no trend up on that. Like he's still barely even out there running routes, let alone, you know, being on the field all the time.
And it's hard for everybody there. I mean, Flowers is getting 5 or 6 targets a week, and likely hasn't done anything since that great week one on Thursday night. You know, the toenail game. He's been invisible. And even Justice Hill has become a multi-feed. Who thought Justice Hill was going to catch 70 passes? But I guess that's the real thing. And Henry, great September for Henry. And we know the story of Henry. He gets better month by month. So they're going to just try to be the, you know, ground. They're a knuckleball team. I'm not surprised. They have that stat that the Ravens always win when they play NFC teams. It's because you don't prepare for a team like that because nobody else plays the way they do.
Yeah. Is there, I'm going to get to running back just quickly with you, Scott, and who the top guys are. Because running back, like the way I always try to approach is I want to find the new hot guy that I can get maybe at a lower value, kind of steer away from the older names that have been around the block. And then this year through 4 games, it's Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. Like, I don't know if that's something about the league or just those three specifically, the talent levels they are, but none of those three would have felt like sexy picks, I feel like, in the offseason, and here they are as the best three running backs.
Right, where we talked about McCaffrey, Hall, and Robinson were the top three backs, and they've all been disappointments for different reasons. What's so interesting to me is how many teams where the number two is outplaying the number one. Braylon Allen is outplaying Hall, and Algier has been more efficient than Robinson, and even to a lesser extent, Bucky Irving. They do different things, but he's probably been a better player than Rashad White. I think right now that's already a 50-50. Rico Dowdle looks like Dallas is back. I don't know if there's a big win there, but maybe Dowdle can be playable through the bye week season, which is upon us. And, you know, the next couple of months we'll have to negotiate that. Madison, right? I talked about him. He's probably the guy with the Raiders, if that means anything to you. So there's a lot of teams. And then some teams are making both backs work. I mean, somehow every week in Detroit, Montgomery scores and Gibbs scores. I think there's only been one game where Gibbs didn't get in the end zone. Otherwise, they're getting all the touchdowns. It's hurting the production with the receivers, although they've still been good. What you want to, I realize everybody wants to do this, but what you want to do is your bench has to be a bunch of guys like Ty Chandler, like Braylon Allen, like Tyler Algier. You have to have all these speculative plays. Brian Robinson has been a right answer in Washington, but, you know, if he does get hurt, would Eckler come into prominence? Jeremy McNichols out of nowhere, 29-year-old back, had some good run last week. I don't know where that came from, if it's repeatable or not. You know, maybe Ray Davis will be on some rosters. I'm really curious with Allen and Hall because Allen's been so much better. The Jets are only 2-2. They looked horrible. I mean, they should have beaten Denver, who couldn't do anything, and they couldn't finish that game off. And they're struggling to punch it in from short yardage. And I know Salah said the right stuff, you know, the endorsement of Hall and all that. But I feel like this is almost like a closer situation where whoever gets the next save might be the closer. They're not going to mothball Breece Hall, but I could see Braylon Allen being the first course to touchdowns.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, for our weekly fantasy chat. Anything you like for tonight's game? Falcons and Bucks. I mean,
I'm starting Mooney.
I think I was going to say, like, I was looking at over unders, and you know, we put together a three way parlay next segment. But Mooney, Bucky Irving. I mean, the Bucky Irving show is underway, right? Like, that was something that a lot of fantasy people had. That Rashad White was kind of a volume guy, but not that good. And here's Bucky Irving to take his job.
Yeah, you mentioned two guys I really like. Mooney basically never comes off the field in the passing downs, and his route participation is really high. And he's been under-rostered in Yahoo. We've been talking about him for a month, and yet he's still, I think, under 50% the last I checked. Cousins at least has started to play better, so I'll sign off on Mooney. And, you know, London, he's getting six catches a week. He's been okay. He hasn't been a smash, but I would feel good about London as well. You mentioned Bucky Irving. The thing about White is he actually is a really good receiver, and he's decent in pass pro. I think this is going to be a 50-50 where Irving's been the better runner, much more efficient, making more splash plays. Even just the basic stats point to Irving on the ground. So I think both of those guys are going to play. What's been weird about that team is they have 11 offensive touchdowns, and 10 of them are tied to Baker Mayfield because it's been Mayfield who's punched in a couple of them, and you just don't think of Baker Mayfield as that type of player. So for fantasy purposes, we kind of hope, okay, Baker, throw it to Evans and Godwin. Well, that's great. We appreciate that. Even Cade Otton, you want a sleeper tight end. Maybe Cade Otton can be that guy. I certainly would play him over Pitts this week. But hopefully the backs will start to get the touchdowns. I think that backfield is 50-50 going forward. I'm going to rank those guys right next to each other. I think they're both playable as lower-end RB2s, higher-end RB3s. And, yeah, Mooney, I think Mooney will get 70 yards tonight.
All right. Scott Pianowski. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow Scott on Twitter, and you see him all over the fantasy world. He is on Twitter at Scott_Piano, WSKI. Our Thursday three-way coming up. Don't steal mine because he just said mine. Mine's going to be Darnell Mooney's over. His receiving over. Do you know what the number is?
45.5.
46.5. Good work.
Yeah.
He's good.
I like a prop bet. 45.5. 46.5. Like,
listen, I don't need to die on a Darnell Mooney hill.
Yeah.
But what the Falcons are getting out of Darnell Mooney is what I think the optimistic Curtis Samuel people thought the Bills would get out of Curtis Samuel. Right?
Yeah.
Mooney was $13 million. That's not crazy high money. That's Gabe Davis money. A little less, actually, right? Maybe right in the same number.
About the same, yeah.
Mooney got 13. Curtis Samuel got 8. And
same as Gabe Davis, yeah.
Yeah. Mooney's good. That guy can play.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins throws to him a lot. I mean, he is the kind of receiver that, if you might think, I was tweeting about this, and Mike Shope tweeted back at me saying that he thinks Curtis Samuel's a better player. Like, sounds great. Get him the production that Darnell Mooney is getting.
Mooney, though, the thing I like about Mooney is someone you line up on the outside, and he's a good route runner. Not going to tell you he's like one of the best, but he's a good route runner, and he's fast. Like 4.38 speed.
Yeah.
Like, he is a downfield threat. I like the player. He is not, you know, like, this is like a Gabe Davis point. When I saw those two players sign for the same amount of money in the offseason, I'm like, oh, Mooney is the 10 times better idea. Mooney is faster. Mooney's a better route runner. Mooney is going to get open more often. Mooney does not block. So it depends if you care about that or if you think you have somebody else to do that. But in terms of getting open and catching the football, yeah, Mooney's a good player. By the way, lastly for fantasy, keep in mind to set your lineup for 9:30 this week. 9:30 a.m. on Sunday.
Right, right.
Early morning lineup set. Don't be the guy that's caught there at 9:42 in the group chat going, oh, I forgot to bench whoever. They might be missing this game.
Jalen Naylor? Who's the guy? What's his
name? Jalen Naylor. He's the number... Well, no, Addison's back, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Naylor's the number three in Minnesota.
We'll get a break in. We have declared a Devontae Adams watch. Too much reporting. Diana Rossini saying the Bills are monitoring it. Along with the Chiefs. So, welcome to Devontae Adams' watch. It's a lot like the other ones. We'll see if this one actually brings a result. This is brought to you by Odell Beckham Jr. and DeAndre Hopkins. And has anybody else been in that mix? I don't think so.
There was a Justin Jefferson note from Matt Collar in the offseason, wasn't there?
Yeah, right. All right, break time. Then our Thursday three-way.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They'll be in hot Atlanta tonight. Bucks and Falcons. A matchup of red and black and red and pewter.
Who will be in attendance?
In Atlanta.
Charles Barkley. That's just a guess.
Who are the people that are trying to bring the Thrashers back? Are they going
to
be there?
Who's trying to do that?
There's like ownership groups trying to bring them back. I don't know.
Let's put our three-way parlay together. Thursday three-way. Each of us picks a leg of a parlay.
Also, Usher apparently is a famous person from Atlanta. Maybe Usher will be there. All right. You're going Mooney?
Darnell Mooney, 50-plus receiving. Give me that.
50-plus receiving.
Yeah, his line's 46.5. We can move it up to 50-plus, and that is even money, 50 yards.
All right, I am going to go... I'm going to make this a long shot. That's not even that big a long shot. I'm going to go Cade Otton anytime touchdown. You know... We talked about tight ends with Scott and how there's no good tight ends. One name that might be coming up a little bit, Cade Otton has 17 targets in his last 2 weeks for the Bucs. He is plus 380 to score a touchdown.
That's big money.
So I'm going to go Cade Otton.
I wish I could bet his blocking ability, but I will bet Bijan Robinson on the over on his rushing, over 59.5.
Okay. Do we want to be careful here? He has a hamstring injury. Is he going to play?
That's true.
He's going to miss?
I don't know. I just don't know what the latest is. The Bucs' run defense is not great. Neither is Atlanta's. Both these teams could see some runs against them. Is he going to play? That's all I want to know.
I also feel like his line being up means he's probably... Yeah, here we go. Bijan Robinson, good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll play.
Okay.
Over, I mean, he might be limited a little bit, but...
59.5?
I feel confident. I think he can do it. Looks good out there when he's blocking, so... Why not when he's rushing?
Let's do it. I got a no sweat token.
Right.
10 to win 153.
Love it. Bijan over 59.5. Mooney over 50.
And then Cade Otton touchdown.
So we need some offense in this game tonight. We should get some offense, right?
It's indoors.
Mayfield is playing like one of the better quarterbacks in the league so far. Another one of these, how about failed first round picks that are just thriving now on a new team.
Josh Rosen's making a lot of calls these days. Hey, look, everybody else is doing all right.
Man. How bad do you have to be? I mean,
well, for what it's worth,
he's bad.
How different was his story than the other two? He went to Arizona, and they drafted another quarterback the next year. Like, yeah. He got no time to grow, no time onto another team.
And it was over.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it would have been different. Just saying, Baker got how many different teams?
This is his fourth chance. Baker, though, did something on his first.
That's right.
And he did it immediately. He set the rookie touchdown record.
That's right. How about Darnold? Darnold
didn't do anything.
Was pretty bad in his first.
Yeah.
Modest backup on his second. Didn't play on his third.
He didn't. No, he started for Carolina in his second, too.
Okay,
they were in Carolina at the same time.
That's right.
I think Darnold got hurt, then they got Mayfield. I don't remember how that winds up. But Darnold got two chances to start, was bad in both, and then Niners backup. But even this year, are we sure he would have played?
Who?
Darnold? If J.J. McCarthy was healthy?
It's a good question.
We might even be looking at this right now if Darnold hadn't played. Do the Vikings have a decision, by the way, because he signed a one-year contract, and if he looks great all year and they win the division, is that tough? Maybe it's not. Maybe you drafted the kid in the first round, he's the plan, and you don't pay Darnold what the going rate will be for him being the number one quarterback in free agency next year, by the way. That's the other thing. Darnold's in line to get paid. If he does this all year, there are no other quarterbacks. So if teams are looking for a ready-made starter right away, like, he is it.
And who should go after him?
Pittsburgh.
Miami.
But if you're Darnold, I would rather go to a spot where I know I'm the automatic starter right away, right? I'm not going there with Tua.
Well.
If I'm Darnold, I'm in line to get $30+ million a year, and I am the unquestioned number one. Like, I'm going to.
Who's the latest contract?
Jets.
Who's the latest quarterback to go from 1 year of surprising success to $30 million?
Geno Smith.
With the same team. That's the thing.
But it would be the same team if they didn't have J.J. McCarthy,
right? That's
right. Like, the only thing that I think prevents that is they drafted a kid.
But I think that's different. For one team to say, hey, it worked here, let's keep this thing going, is different than, yeah, it worked in Minnesota. Why am I giving you $30 million? Wouldn't I just...
Well, he's the whole... If you want a starter next year, he is the only idea. And if he has a full year of looking good, I think you could very easily convince yourself, hey, it was all Adam Gase and then the Carolina Panthers. And look, he got a good coach, and he was good. And I need a starter, and I don't have another option. So I need to get in this game. And I'm still, even if he gets, what, $30 million a year, that wouldn't be the going rate. He's making $25 million less than Trevor Lawrence in a single season. Like, I think he could get that. He couldn't get that from, like, who's going to need a quarterback next year? The Giants?
Okay.
Go back to New York?
Maybe Daboll really liked him in the pre-draft scouting process when the Bills took Allen.
Yeah.
Darnold's off the board.
I think the Steelers.
That's if Daboll can survive that job. 803-0550.
The Titans? They could get off Will Levis in 1 year, couldn't they? Second-round pick.
I suppose it's possible. Jeremy and Joe, did you watch episode 1 of Love is Blind?
No, I did. I can't say I did. How was it?
Great. We got a great season.
Yeah?
We've got a great season.
There looks like some potential contestants that are going to make waves. That's what you want, right?
Listen to you. You sound like a person that just walked in and like,
I don't know.
You got some potential contestants?
I don't even know.
Make waves?
Are they even contestants? Would you call them contestants?
They are characters. I mean, they are contributors. They are people.
Right.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, is this some show you watch because it's a bunch of train wreck people and it's drama and it's The Bachelor or The Bachelorette where it's catty, blah, 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 right? That's what you think?
Exactly, yes.
It's not that at all.
At all?
It's really not that. There's a little bit, tiny bit of that, but that's not it.
Uh-huh.
It's not what the show is. This show is, I'll defend Love is Blind to the death. This show is regular people,
mm-hmm.
Genuinely regular people. Some of them are really attractive. Some of them are regular attractive. These are not like Hollywood attractive, like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette gets, you know, 30 wannabe actors that are trying to become famous. This is regular people they go on these dates where they don't see each other and they decide to get married without seeing each other.
Okay.
Then they meet and they live together and they decide if they're going to go through with getting married. And this show, my evaluation of Love is Blind, the best thing about this show is the whole point is these people want to find someone and they don't want to base their relationship on looks. And you might think like, well, that sounds like a good idea, but doesn't everybody have a certain level of...
Mm-hmm.
This show will challenge your own beliefs on all that. People will get together. You'll think, there's no way they're going to stay together. And they do.
They stay together?
It is legitimately I can't maybe go all the way to wholesome.
Wholesome. I mean, yeah, that's a leap.
Part of it is wholesome. Real big parts of it are wholesome. You feel happy for people. Real people. It is a great show. And I don't say that as any sort of like prisoner. The other thing that's about it that's great is this, Joe. I can't watch anything now because whether it's a dog needs to go outside or I got to check Twitter for the Devontae Adams watch or what. Like, I've got no attention span if it's not sports right now. This is a show. You can walk out of the room and come back. You didn't miss that much. You're fine. You answered a phone call. You text some people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great show. I convinced Howard to do a guillotine league, and he liked it. And then he backed out.
He liked it so much that he's no longer in it.
He did it for a couple of years, but
he's not even in it anymore.
He liked it.
The league was invented for him, right? And he's gone.
That's right. He's
not even in it.
He is no longer in the league. That might be true, but he did like it. And I think you and your wife should watch one season of Love is Blind.
A season? Not even like an episode. I got to watch a season?
You'll be into it. In two episodes, you'll want to watch it.
I think you should do it.
We'll have a new segment. It'll be called Joe Checks In on Love is Blind.
That sounds like a fantasy football punishment.
And yet it's not. It's a good show.
Uh-huh.
Wholesome. Happiness. Authenticity. There's legit there are some people that are, you know, weird.
Isn't the point of a dating show, though, to watch a dating show just to see the train wreck?
Like, that's the other shows.
You want to watch the train wreck.
This show, again, some of that comes out because relationships sometimes don't work out.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm telling you. And speaking to everybody out there, not just Joe.
I have a skepticism of calling it authentic when, again, what the concept is like after how long they decide if they're going to get married?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and they've seen each other for how many days?
At the beginning, they haven't seen anybody at all.
That's what I mean.
Then there's a grand reveal where they meet. Then they live together for, I think, 3 weeks.
And then after 3 weeks, the decision is made.
Yeah.
And these are regular people that are deciding after 3 weeks if they're going to get married or not.
Maybe you should watch season one where there are multiple couples still married. Kids!
That's unlike the other dating shows, I think.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's unlike the other dating shows.
They do reunions. They're like, how are you guys doing? Like, oh, great. Like, no way you guys would stay together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show. Just saying.
I don't know.
This has been my Love is Blind.
I got college football this week. I got hockey season starting. I got less bandwidth now for other shows. How many hockey games they play? They want to play more.
That's right. They're about to play a lot of hockey games. I got to get it in before hockey season.
Hockey, baseball. You're coming at me with this show. That poor timing by Love is Blind during the sports equinox month where there is literally a game every single day the entire month.
That's true.
That would be tough.
Mina Kimes has a podcast on it. There you go. You like Mina Kimes.
On Love is Blind.
If she likes it, it's got to be good, right?
Mm. That's probably right. Yeah. Respect her opinion on almost everything.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We've got our three-way parlay. Extendo Sports. I had a friend ask me why it's called Extendo Sports and what it is. Do you even know?
I do know.
Okay. Evan, do you know?
I've worked here for 2 years, and I have no idea what it is.
You know what? Let's just explain what Extendo Sports is when we get back. For anybody that has no idea, like, why do they say that? What does that even mean? What is it anymore? Remind me to just, I'll just tell everybody that maybe doesn't know what it is, how the name came about, what it is. It's not really anything anymore, but it used to be. So that's how we'll close the show. 803-0550 on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, so the origin story of Extendo Sports, for anybody that does not know, it's been a long time. In 2007-ish, the power went out here at the station, at the studio, in the building. And that meant the computers were down, but we have a generator. We can still be on the air when the power's out. That's how BEN stays on during, like, blizzards and stuff. Because, you know, we're essential workers. There's a disaster. Right. We gotta watch Devontae Adams chatter.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we stay on the radio. And we decided in that time, like, we were supposed to do an update at 9:30 at the time. It might have been top and the bottom of the hour. So we just started doing the update. And then Nick Mendola, I feel like this is the first time it ever happened, did impressions of the sound bites. Like, oh, the Sabres played Jersey tonight. Here's Marty Baron. And I talk like Marty. So anyway, so we did that. And then it became a longer sports cast, like 20 minutes where we'd get sound in from other stuff around the sports world. Like, you know, hey, it's a Falcons-Bucks preview. And then it's every single game on the Major League Baseball slate that'd be coming up tonight. Be like, a, you know, the 10-minute around-the-world sports cast kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then over time, you know, I'm going to blame Howard here. Other segments just started going later and later and later and later. And then this became the last segment of the show. It was like 4 minutes long. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's a complete oral history of Extendo Sports. Yeah. That's it.
So it's kind of for another time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the Big Ten. It's like how the Big Ten has 30 teams now.
Right.
Why are they called the Big Ten? Well, long ago,
there were 10 teams.
Yep. We got any college football tonight?
I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, no, tomorrow. Syracuse, UNLV. Tomorrow at 9.
That's right.
UNLV's ranked with their new quarterback because the starter decided he was going to opt out for the rest of the season. Their new quarterback, I guess, though, was like just as good as the old one, so they haven't skipped a beat.
Or if you want to watch Texas State and Troy, it's on ESPN2.
Texas State, I believe, is one of those teams that is going to be in. They're going to be competing for a playoff spot because they're one of the good Group of Five teams.
Hold on, so it's the Troy Trojans, right?
Wait, sorry, they lost their last game. That's not true anymore.
Troy Trojans and the Texas State Whats?
Yeah, what's Texas State? What do you think? Texas State, who, by the way, I saw it's trying to get into the SEC, and I'm like, good luck with that.
What is Texas?
Who
State?
Are you to try to get into the SEC?
Texas State.
Or the Big 12.
I mean, I want to say Aggies, but they're not the Aggies.
That would feel ridiculous.
Utah State's the Aggies.
What if I gave you the name of the mascot? Do you think that would help?
Yeah.
Boco.
Boco?
Boco.
You knew that wouldn't help.
Texas State with their mascot Boco.
The Bull. The Bulls.
The Bobcats.
Okay. I knew it would be alliteration. You got to have alliteration in a mascot like 90% of the time.
Boco with Bobcat.
Texas State Bobcats and the Troy Trojans. All right.
Meanwhile, my Hawaii Rainbow Warriors are 3-1 in the college football dynasty league.
I thought they changed to just the Warriors.
The game still says they're the Rainbow Warriors. Okay. Are they changing real life?
I could be wrong.
They're still the Rainbow Warriors.
Very good.
Yeah.
We're back tomorrow for a Football Friday. Maybe Devontae Adams will be on the Bills by then. Probably not. Maybe he'll be traded by then.
It'll be a game day, though.
It will be a game day.
Or the Sabres.
Sabres game day. Sabres and Devils starts tomorrow. All right. We'll chat then. Football Friday tomorrow.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.